first of all, thank you for being here. You know, I know it was a very long week and very tired also. I'm very tired also. But let's go. I will try to be not so boring, you know. So let's go. So basically, a little about me. My name is Daniel Takabayashi, and I'm CTO at Laguru.com. It's a little startup we just started in the Bay Area. Also, I'm a mentor in the Founder Institute in San Francisco. And I was co-founder of Bull Labs, a Brazilian AI startup, acquired by one of the biggest retail companies. And I'm talking about this because the topic of the presentation is one of the technologies that fortunately we create there in B2W. Also, I'm the architect and one of the architects, of course, and contributor of Marvin, okay? So basically, a little like quite information about Marvin. Let me just grab this thing because I see a little more. Yeah, so basically, the project is started inside B2W in 2016 and to basically solve internal problems, you know. I will talk about these problems very soon. After that, we released the software as open source, you know, was one of the first initiatives inside this company. B2W basically is like Amazon, but for Brazil, so it's the biggest like e-commerce there, you know, as a patch too. Then we first published like our first paper that talks about one of the ideas that Marvin brings, you know, in Boston. After that, so far we have 5 releases as we are still like an incubator project. We was like the first Brazilian project that becomes at least was accepted as incubator project. And of course, I suppose everybody that is a contributor knows that it's very hard to grow our community, and this is exactly our challenge right now, you know. So basically about the problem, the first perspective of our problem back then, you know, in B2W was the knowledge, you know, the skills, everything that we should have to create like a succeed like project. I'm talking about machine learning projects in specific. So basically we know that right now it's very clear, but in two years ago was not so clear that to create something good, you know, just the data scientist is not enough. We need like a whole team. Software engineers, programmers, you know, DevOps, you know, and more knowledge. So, and this leads us to the cost of a project, you know, a regular project take too long to be done. But also if you don't have the right skills, the probability, the odds to have something in production is very low. So, but we just learned this after try a lot. So after, beside that, another problem is you need to be very fast, you know, at least in the first iteration. If you don't, someone can just come and finish your project, cancel, you know, remove the budget or just change their ideas. So show something faster is fast, you know, is very vital, you know, to the success of the project. And basically everybody, I believe that there are most of people that is here knows that there is a lot of little parts of the project. The project is not something, you know, straightforward, just like a regular project. We need to understand the data. We need to clean. We need to prepare the data. Then we need to explore, understand how we're going to solve that, you know, that problem, that given problem. What kind of algorithms we're going to use, you know, this, I'm talking about this perspective. Then we need to test. Also, we need to decide the metrics and everything else. We need to test and improvement, you know. We need always to improve. This is just the first iteration, you know. And this is the thing that if we succeed doing this, like, fast, at least the first time, you can show something and then you can have time, you know, to try to get something better and better till, you know, you get the till you get something that is possible, you know, to be deployed on production. So basically another thing is, another problem is, I believe, and the previous speaker also, he talked about this, about the how easy it is to reproduce your experiments, you know, and how smooth is this process. So basically, when you talk about save, I'm not talking about only save like the data or the model itself, but I'm talking about the hypothesis, the metrics of each interaction. So let's pretend that to get something done, I tried like 10 times, 10 different like approaches or more, 20 maybe. So very cool if you could have like all the outputs of each interaction. So I'm talking about this, and this is very important for a project, you know. And another, there is a lot of problems, but I just bring like four. And of course, you know, as data scientist, my perspective is always, you know, I need to try always with something that I know, like the tools that I know. So basically, JuPyter or Python or R, you know. So prototype locally using JuPyter notebooks, you know. Using my language, you know. But the problem is, as architect, my perspective is, okay, now it's done. Looks like that is working. And then become a problem, because how are we gonna put that thing that you just finished into production, you know? So this is one of the problems that we... That is very like, actual also, you know. Even if you are working with cloud platforms, this is still like a problem, because I'm not talking about only how to publish this or how to train that thing, but I'm talking also how to integrate, how to get that little model, right, and make available for APIs or through APIs for apps and this kind of thing, in a way that is easy to update the model without have to ask again for another team to help you to translate that application. You know? So basically, scalability is one of the biggest issues also. And here, my perspective is more about serving. You know, everything is done. Doesn't matter if the model is very heavy or not. What's matter is now I need to scale to support like millions of users. And this is the problem. So basically, finally, our problem was how to simplify the process of, you know, from exploring, build, test, deploy machine learning projects in a reproducible way. So this was the problem. And the answer, of course, you know, was through Marvin, our idea of how, you know, solve this problem. So basically, I will show like every single, you know, perspective that I think is important from the project, from the architect perspective, to give a little more, you know, idea of our approach. And basically, our approach was create templates, standardize a lot of things, and give like a very specific path to the data scientists to follow, you know. I'm not talking about how to solve the problem, you see. I'm not saying don't use TensorFlow, use MXNet, or use that other thing, don't use Scikit. I'm talking about the whole thing around this, you know, when you try to put something in production. So basically, our idea was based on something that the prediction IO guys did. We extended their idea and we created DASF. Basically, it's a design pattern that basically says is a very simple thing, you know, but back then, like 2 years ago, nobody was trying, you know, or at least in my perspective, was trying to organize the idea like this. So basically, what we create was two flows, you know, one that has batch actions. In this perspective, from the DAS perspective, a batch action is something that take a little longer to finish, to process, and always generate like an artifact. So in this case, initial data set, model, and metrics. So basically, those are things that should be persistent, because later I want to go there and understand exactly how was the final, the end of this process. And beside that, I have also the online actions, and basically online means something that I need to synchronously respond. So basically something that I want to consume, something that should be fast and doesn't need to save anything in the end. So basically it's a very simple idea. And here, of course, we create each flow has little boxes, and each box represents one of the phases, the actions itself. The first one from the batch perspective is acquisition of data and cleaning of that data. So basically go to your source, doesn't matter where, get the data, remove all the outliers, remove everything that doesn't matter for your model, and save that thing. Boom. After that, you're gonna save and create, we're gonna create like an initial that we call initial data set. Okay. After that, you have to prepare your data set. So in this phase, the idea is transform your data. So let's pretend that now we are talking about image. So in this case, the input will be the image itself. You clean up, you clean everything. And then later to prepare the data, you need to transform in a different like dimension. I mean, extract the features. The features will be the real data that you're gonna, you know, send to your algorithms. Then you have the model training itself, you know, where you're gonna, you know, if you are using like deep learning, you're gonna send to our network to start to learn. And after the whole thing, you have a model, something that was persisted. Also, you have the evaluation. So the model evaluation is something that could be dynamic based on the based on your hypothesis, and would be cool also if you could like see and how was the performance of that model that was triggered by some hyperparameters or something like that. And online actions, very simple, just the feedback. Feedback is something that is there, open it, totally open it. Just give me something that was that could be generated by the usage of that model, and something that could, and also something that could help me to get better training the next time, you know. And finally, prediction preparation and model prediction. Prediction preparation is just the action of prepare what is coming, so the message. So here my perspective is about the final user, you know. So let's pretend again is an image classifier. The image classifier, the first thing that always doesn't matter how is the solution, you need an image, you know. So basically the preparation to the prediction will get that image, download that image, prepare that image, you know, extract the features, and then finally give to the prediction to, you know, to figure out which class that image belongs, you know. So basically it's a very simple strategy here, but this makes totally sense, because once we have a pattern, we can just say, hey guys, now you can do whatever what you're gonna do, but follow these things, you know. And if they follow these things, as architect, I can do a lot of like magics, just like Luciano said early today also. So basically, this is a very big perspective of the product. So how, let's pretend that now, doesn't matter if I understood or not the Marvin so far, because I will explain a little with more details. How can I deploy this in my infrastructure, you know? I'm not talking about the details about this, but the context diagram is something a little more like big picture, you know? What's matter is Marvin is not the platform itself that will, you know, allow you to deploy your things, like your whole application. You don't need to rewrite the whole application. It's just the idea here is just create like a standardized way to get and consume that, you know, that model. So basically, you just put Marvin as just another platform, and inside Marvin, you have your models, basically, you know. And then you can create, there is a lot of things here through Marvin, so you have consoles, dashboards. If you want to integrate with external platforms, like, as I said, like TensorFlow or you know, Prediction.io or Google Mail, is okay. There is no restriction, because as you're going to see, the data scientist is totally free to develop, you know, just like he was doing before, you know. So basically, there is some components here that is very important to understand before I start to use Marvin. The first one is like the engine itself. So the engine represents the project that holds the logic of the model. So basically, it's the code that the data scientist will create. Right, so this is the engine, and basically the engine is when you start to use Marvin, you're gonna create your project through Marvin. Also, there is a little scaffold that generates the you know, the project itself, the initial state of the project, and basically what you need to do later is just fill up the gaps, so fill up the squares, the boxes, you know, with the code that represent each phase of DASFI. Sorry. And after that, so basically the first one, engine, the second one, artifacts. Artifacts are, you know, binaries that, you know, that was versioned and persisted by Marvin. So basically initial data set, model, and metrics. It's something that will always be there, is saved. You can, how you save this, there is a lot of ways you can save on Amazon S3 or GetFS or, you know, just locally, this doesn't matter, it's an abstraction, you know. Then you have the engine executor itself. The engine executor is a kind of server that, you know, that abstracts the whole API, parallelism, you know, a lot of things that is very important to make able to someone else to consume your model. And finally, the toolbox. So basically, the toolbox is a set of CLIs, utility classes, libraries, a lot of things that we create to make easier for data scientists to manage the whole thing, even to validate if what he did is correct or not, you know. And the idea behind Marvin was to support, like, to be agnostic of language. So the idea is once is a concept, so it doesn't matter. There is no sense to lock the data science inside a language or not. So the idea was, okay, let's create a couple toolboxes and for each language, because everything else is just the same, you know. And then the data science could just pick one and do their work. So basically, this is how it works. So the toolbox is the guy that manages the engine executor and the engine itself. So basically, it's a kind of manager through CLI that you just give like a couple commands, and then everything will be created, will be controlled and managed. Then you have the engine executor itself, is that server that embraces the engine itself. I will show how this thing works, you know, how we could create something that is a language agnostic, you know, or agnostic of programming language. Then you have the artifact, basically the engine through our abstract libraries, manage the whole thing, you know. You know, basically, what we do is we intercept a lot of actions, and we create a serializable version of that thing. You know, basically. So, if we are talking about TensorFlow, what we do is we just call the correct, like the serializers. Sorry, guys. Okay, so basically this is how the whole components they work together. And here is giving a little more details about how the thing works, you know. So basically what we have here is the Marvin engine executor is a server that was created using the actor models in Scala, basically. So each little box here has could be like deployed in a different, in a distributed, like in a different node or something like that, and everything will work because they talk each other and through this. Through this library called Akka HTTP. Yeah. So basically, the beauty of this is because we could like have a very simple deployed, like everything just a single node. But at the same time, I can distribute the same solution, the same binary across hundreds of nodes, you know, without having to change anything. So this was the this is the biggest like gain of the use Marvin, you know, without having to concern about anything. So basically, here we have a bunch of actors. So each box represents is one actor. So here I have one actor that called online action, batch action, and pipeline action. Here basically are the actors that it's possible to parallelize easily. They are synchronous. They respond immediately, you know. Here I have the batch action. Every single batch action, the actor itself is the guy that receives, that generates the versioning, that do all this stuff. And here, I will not give a lot of details, otherwise I can't go, in the other slides. The time is very limited. But basically, what is nice here is to show how we connect with the code that someone else is creating, and the solution here is through the gRPC. So basically, what we do is we connect the Marvin executor, something that was created by Scala, and with the code that was created by the data scientists in doesn't matter which language. So basically, here in pink, we have something that could be created using like Python, C, Scala, Java, doesn't matter. And basically, once everybody, every single project, they follow the same like structure, the same pattern. So follow this is much easier to understand how everything works, because basically what we do is just an abstraction that has a common interface, so it doesn't matter the language anymore. Of course, you're gonna always have like a little throughput here, but this is the trade-off, And that's it. So basically, this is how it works. So basically, every single action, every single box in the DAS has will gain like a bunch of APIs that allow us to create like a very complex pipeline. So, and with this, we could do like a lot of orchestration, a lot of things. Here, more or less, is another component, is how we could like, manage all those actors and all those like, engines. So basically, we have a component called cluster admin that give us the access for in each of the actors. So basically, the capability that we give here to the manager is something very low, like change the state in memory of a given code. And doing this, what we do is we can change the model inside the service without have to stop anything, Yes, that's it. I'm just trying to accelerate the process because I want to show how the thing works, okay, guys? So if you have any question, just ask. Basically, this is the future of Marvin. So because right now we have, everything run locally. Of course, through Docker, but it's still like locally, and you need to do by yourself, to make the thing. When I say locally, I'm talking about the perspective of the data science, because here this is a tool that, let's talk about the project itself. So in the first part of the project, it's just the data science that works a lot, right? So Marvin is there to serve those guys, in a way that when he just finished, he say, okay, I finished it. The thing is totally done. to be deployed without have any interference of somewhere else. So this is what I'm trying to say about, you know, locally. So basically, and here is the architecture to change this. Basically, our idea is just use the same concept of two boxes, but start to, you know, to control like remote, like dockers and remote like infrastructures, using the same behavior, the same interface, the same way, totally transparent. So basically, the idea is just run here or run there, and then everything will be okay, you know. So basically, this is the idea, and also I will show it to you like how the thing works. So basically, what I prepared here. So now I need my two hands. Was a very simple, you know, a very simple model. Basically, it's just a classification of spans. It's a very simple, I just got from Craggle. I was doing like 2 hours ago there, you know, and my idea is just show the, you know, how the thing more or less works, you know, with Marvin. So basically, you just have to go and do a little, you know, so far we just have the Python toolbox. And in this case, you just have to go and pip install Marvin toolbox, and then you have this. So basically, you're gonna have this little CLI. It's possible to see, guys. Is big enough? The letters, everything is okay, or okay. So basically, you have a bunch of commands here. You know, engine from the engine group. So basically, deploy, dry run, gRPC servers, HTTP servers. You know, we have a couple like integrations here with Hive. Then you have also some commands just to manage your own like engine itself, you know, to manage the versioning and a lot of stuff. And basically, firstly, I want to show you this. So basically, Marvin is this little CLI command, right? And then we have a command called notebook. So it's just a single installation, but with Marvin, we bring a lot of like default stuff, like Jupyter Lab, the Jupyter Notebook. We already have here like Keras. We already have like scikit-learn, everything with just one simple command, you know. And doing this, basically everything starts from here. Let me just increase this thing. So you just have to call that command, and then you have a notebook embedded. And inside that notebook, I already prepared like a notebook here with my solution. Let me just... And basically, the solution is very simple. It's just a classifier. I just want to show how Marvin... how could be like a project with Marvin. So here... one thing that you're gonna notice is this little plugin that works with Marvin. So basically, the plugin gives you access to all the actions that is part of the whole like design pattern that we implemented. So basically, here what you need to do is just write the code related with that phase and mark with the you know with the correct label. So in this case, let me just zoom here. Okay. In that case, this is the code related with the Axitor and cleaner. And here with the preparation for training. I will show in detail here very soon. So here training, metrics, evaluator. So how you can see that you are using Marvin just because of this, and here also that shows the phase, okay? So basically, what is the difference between this code and the code that we are using, you know, we used to develop, you know, as data scientists? Basically, you know, if you want, because this is something very like specific, you know, the way that I'm doing here, because I'm doing this because this is the way that the plugin that we have inside Jupyter works. So basically, how the thing works, put everything inside a cell and then mark with that phase. If you do this, everything will work. You know, you don't need to do anything more at all. You're gonna... After that, you just have to... You just call another command, and then you're gonna have your API done ready to, you know, to receive requests. So basically what you need to do here, the only difference, guys, I will show you here right now. The only thing that you need to follow, that is, you know, as I said, is standard. You need to follow some standards. Here, you know, you need to, every time that you are done, let's pretend in this case, this is the process that I'm following to get the initial data set. So basically, I'm just download like a data set from S3. I just remove some columns and that's it. The only thing that I need to do now is just say, okay, Marvin, this is my Marvin initial data set. When I do this, I'm saying, okay, please version this for me and keep this thing saved. And of course, make this available for the next phase, the training preparation. Okay? And then here, the training preparation, same thing. In this case, I'm just splitting the data. I'm just creating like a vectorized like a dictionary. And I'm creating the next one, Marvin dataset. And see here, that is just a regular object. I'm not using anything special. It's not something from Marvin. I'm just using the regular thing. The only thing I'm doing here is just make a little more like standardized, you know. Same thing here with the training. You know, in this case, I'm just calling like a multinomial name base and fitting. And here the result itself is the Marvin model. Then I have the matrix, same thing. I just extract some matrix, just, you know, regular stuff, very simple. And finally, we have the two online actions, preparation. You know, I just apply, it's just, you know, I'm just using the previous object to transform my object, and then finally the prediction itself. So it's very simple, right? There is no, you know, everything is marked. Once it's marked, the only thing that I need to do is just save. When I save, what happens? So basically, do you remember that I told you that we create like a project, right? So basically, when you start a project, an engine with Marvin, what you do is, we create like a template, a scaffold of the project. I don't know if it would be possible to see, guys, but basically let me try to increase my, let me, yes, a little. Yeah, so basically this is the structure of the project. So it's just like a Python project, a regular Python project, but already supports like tests, a lot of things. You already have like the APIs, everything is already done. Your code is exactly in the place that should be, you know, because every time you change the JuPython notebook, that plugin brings the code and put the code exactly in the place that should be, validate the code. Yeah, you just, everything is already embedded, you know. So basically, when you start, you just have to use the command, like Marvin.
It's on localhost?
Sorry?
Did you put it on localhost?
No, it's because it's inside Marvin. The Jupyter is inside the binary that you just installed, you know. Once you installed and you create your project, every single engine, let's pretend that now I have three projects in my machine. Each one, you will have your own, like, instance of Jupyter, of the notebook. Everything is totally... Yeah, if I just talked this before. Basically, the idea behind, because we are still working on the distributed part of the thing, but basically everything runs in a Docker, so basically it's exactly the same thing. You just have to say, is there, is not here, and everything works. Okay, so basically everything that I'm showing locally, but it's just a Docker. So once it's a Docker, you can like use any cloud. There is no restriction about this. No, I see. No, basically, when you do this, everything is there, it's not here. So in the way that we do, we share, basically, we're going to share the folder that has your code here and there. So basically, when you change there, you're changing here. Yes, yeah, basically, it's something like that, exactly. Yeah. So basically, when you change, this is just one way. I'm just show like the easiest way, you know, because actually the real thing is just come here and put your code. It's much easier. You don't have the limitation of put everything inside the cell, you know. Just like is that thing is just like proof of concept, I think. It's something that shows that it's possible to connect the two words, you know, without have trouble. But of course, we need more contributors to make the thing like, you know, works for real, you know. So basically, here is the project, and here you're gonna find a lot of things. So everything that we do, we support Docker. How? Is here. We just generate this scaffold. The Docker file is here, very open. You just have to come here and change. Let's pretend you want to optimize the thing, you know. Same thing with APIs. You know, here embedded, we have the Swammer, and we have a Swammer like server also. And you know, everything is here, I will show you. And the code, I suppose, is the most important ones, you know. Even the notebooks also is already here, already structured and saved. You know, so everything is here. And there is a bunch of things that we could change, you know. The most important ones are the metadata that more or less control the way that we could distribute the thing. So where is each component? You know, let's pretend that now I want to distribute this thing in a very complex way where each actor will be deploying in a different node. So basically through here, it's possible to change all this behavior. But let me show you more. So basically, so far, what I did was just, you know, I just create my code through using Jupyter. Once I saved, after mark every single cell, the Marvin brings to my project. So now I have the project fill up with my code, right? So now what I could do? Let me just use the same. So basically, I could use this comment. Let me just... it's possible to see the last line. Yes. So basically, here I have a comment called engine and dry run. And basically, what this does is just... He just run all your code from the Marvin DAS perspective to see if all interfaces are working. You know, it's the way that we found to validate if you are really following the rules, you know. And basically here, what we are doing is testing the whole pipeline. So basically, let me check if you have the files that you need to have. Let me see if the acquisitor and cleaning is working. This is the time that took, you know. And then training, the metrics, here a little, you know, output about the metrics, and everything looks good. And even a result, you know, here also because we apply. So in this case, a real result, you know. So let's pretend that now I want to see if even my message is correct, you know, the input is correct, and if the output will be correct also. The input, the output of the online actions are always like need to follow at least for so far the JSON format. So basically, you need to fit in the JSON format. This is the only limitation. So let's pretend that we are talking about image, you know, in this case. Instead of send the image, send the link that has the image, and then you're going to, you know. Of course, there is no limitations. This is true, but what you have done so far in the repository will just support JSON, the JSON structure.
So the name of the data sets follows as the match,
like exactly Marvin underscore. Yes, this is exactly. This is the only thing. So do whatever you want. What's matter is the end. You need to save me. You need to have a variable called Marvin underline, you know, something, data set, model, or something like that. No, the last one will be always the real one, the one that will be saved. So you talk about the each phase, right? Because each phase has your own, like, artifact. So basically what you need to do as data scientist, do whatever you want to do, and just give me the last thing, the thing that you want to us to be saved. If it's a lot of things, put everything inside just one thing, just like I did. I create like a dict, and if each attribute of that dict has a different variable that, you know, I could use later to do something, you know. So basically here, this is one of the things that I can do. So basically, let's pretend that you create your pipeline, everything's good. Now you just run the dry run, everything looks good. And now what you need to do, you know, let's pretend that now I'm the DevOps and I'm preparing to, because everything here, you just have to commit right now, you know, and then everything will be in the repository. So basically what you need to do now to start the HTTP REST APIs, you just have to say HTTP server. And then now we're going to start the Nginx executor, that component that, you know, should be used to make able to make available your model into production. So basically here you can see the log. We are connecting with your code, you know, and make available a lot of APIs. So basically here, if you go in port 8000 / docs, you're gonna see something like this. This is just a little documentation and that could help you to interact with the APIs. So basically, you're gonna have every single engine, they have at least 30, almost 40 APIs that could give you access to every single perspective of the pipeline, you know, to control. So in this case, get Airflow, do whatever you want to create your pipeline, to connect to two APIs in using Marvin. So basically, let me show you just one. So basically, let's pretend that now I want to, you know, to orchestrate my acquisition phase. So in this case, let's pretend that I want to schedule to every day go there and bring a new initial data set. So in this case, I just have to schedule something to call the acquisitor phase. So basically, this is how it works, you know. So let's pretend that in this case, you want to create initial data set. Doesn't matter if you're gonna run your model again, but bring the new data, and maybe once a month, you're going to get everything and start a new process or a new training. So this is very possible, you know. You just have to create this workflow saying, call the initial, you know, get that version, and now another phase, please, the training. Use that initial data set to create the new model. So it's very flexible. What I will call here, just to make a little more faster for us, it's just the pipeline. The pipeline is that one that calls everything, you know, just in one shot, and just to simplify our life. So basically, I will call here. Execute. And everything is running here. Everything is asynchronous, you know. And here, every time we call an API, the API will give you back like a kind of protocol that marks and keep track about that action that you just did, you know. So with this, you can connect all the things, the initial data set, the versioning, everything is about this, you know, is about the protocol. So the protocol is your label that shows that, okay, the protocol represents that cycle, that interaction. Okay, in this case, I have a protocol here in hand. Now what I have to do is just call the, I'm doing this, now I just have to call the prediction, because what the pipeline does is all the batch stuff, you know, so he called everything. So basically what we have right now is a new model already trained. And now what I want to do is I want to bring that new model in memory, you know, to start to use that thing to predict my problem. So basically what I need to do is something like call this API called reload, passing the protocol that I just got from there. So basically, I just put the protocol there that I called here, work in progress. That basically what he's doing is just, if you check in the log, everything is very clear. Basically what he's doing is getting that protocol. he's figured out what is the model, which model represents that protocol, and he's bringing to memory, you know, of your code, the new object. And basically, it's done. Now I just have to call the prediction and everything will be there. So basically how I use the prediction, I'm showing through this interface, guys, but you know that everything curl, you know, is just a regular API. I'm just using this just to simplify your life, you know. No, this is totally actually production. Actually, it doesn't make sense at all to do this locally. You know, like the APIs. You are talking about the APIs, right? No, the APIs. Yes, I'm just showing the two perspectives of the thing. You know, once you run the dry run, you say, okay, as data scientist, I done. It's finished. Then you just have to commit your code. You know, send to the Git or any source control, and then the other guy, the DevOps, will get the same thing and just, you know, start the server. I mean, he don't need to install anything else. He don't need to do anything else. Everything is already embedded inside the model. So the model itself now has the APIs, has how to interact, how to check, the availability, how to distribute. Everything is already there. It's just one binary, you know, right now. It's one thing. It's, you know, so basically that part right now, when I call the HTTP server, I say, okay, this is what we need to do in production, you know. So basically, I don't know if I was clear.
So the model swapping and all those things, we have those kind of capabilities, or like those are something like so now once your model is deployed, it's ready, and it's actually serving customers when I want to start training and deploying another model.
You could do in two different ways. One, you could just change the same notebook, you know. Let's pretend that we are talking about the same problem, you know, because the model is different than the problem, right? So you could have a lot of trials, and each trial is represented by one other artifact that is totally saved and is represented by a notebook that is already saved inside the same engine. You know, you could have this, or you could just create one project for each trial that you have, you know, and just have everything running at the same time. So up to you to decide. What's matter is every time you finalize a pipeline, you're going to have something that will be saved and represent that thing. So basically, you know the model, you know the metrics. So you have all the data that you use it to create the thing. And also you have the notebook, you have the code, you have everything, you know. So then you just have to decide, okay, should I create a new project and keep that thing a little more clear, opening, you know, or should I just remove and create a new code, you know, but it's clear, you know, into production is just, you know, start HTTP server and say which protocol you want. The protocol represents the version of your interaction. So basically it's the whole pipeline. So it's represented by one number that represents that trial. So basically, start the thing and say, this is the thing that I want to bring to and start to serving. So this is how it works, you know. So just to finalize, I just called the reload to bring the new model, and now I will just show how to consume that thing, and we finish. Okay, so now you just have to call the prediction and hear the pulse of the prediction. In this case, guys, the message, you know, if you look here in the solution, the format of the message is right here. It's just a simple array with a string inside. So basically, this is exactly what I'm gonna send in the API. So basically here. Sorry. I will say, okay, this is the message. And then execute. And here I have the response. The same response that we develop inside the Jupyter notebook. So basically this is how it works. Now, you know, you just have to use your like creativity to distribute this, you know, inside. So basically what I showed here was a very feasible way to, you know, distribute everything that the data science does without having to have a second phase of the project, that phase where, okay, we need to figure out how we're going to put this on production. If you start with Marvin, you just have to, you know, to use the infrastructure that we, you know, the CLIs and everything will be good, you know. And this doesn't mean that, okay, so now I can't use like Amazon or, doesn't matter, because actually what is Marvin's about of the template itself and a lot of things that comes with the template. So basically, that's it. It's not something intrusive like, no, like other platforms that just, you know, lock yourself inside their like technology. Here, as I show, you can use any kind of solution. You know, doesn't matter. The only thing that you need to follow is just the rules. You know, and everything will be good. Okay, that's it, guys. I finished.
How do you store it?
So actually, in the actual version, you can use like S3, HDFS, or simple file stores. But this is something that we provide. But you can like just implement your own way. You know, it's very simple. You just have to extend like a little class and say this is the way that I want to save the thing. And everything, you know. I mean, what I'm trying to say is we don't need to limit ourselves in the way that Marvin's doing right now, because everything is just about an interface. To extend Marvin is very easy. It's just one more class that says, okay, I want to put my data here, and then Marvin will start to store your data there, you know. So basically, there is no, I mean, the limitation is of course is yourself, you know. Everything is very open. You can even change everything that was created.
Do you have any dashboards that where you can view this metrics?
Yeah, the metrics are, sorry.
So like I kept on training.
Yeah, you could use it even to decide if you want to deploy the new model. This is something that we do. We used to do because we used to do in B2W. You know, that is the biggest guy that I know that is using the platform. So basically, what we could do is just, you know, dynamically decide if the new model has a best, you know, a better solution of the last one, and decide if you want or not to reload the new model into production. Because everything will happen in production, you know. Everything's there. Everything's already there. So the only thing is that you could do is just, okay, get the new metric, get the old one. Which one is better? The new one is better. So now, please, Marvin, reload the thing that you are serving right now. You know, so you could do this using the APIs and just orchestrating the thing, you know. Because you can't get the results of the metrics online based on the protocol. You just have to say, Marvin, give me the metrics that belongs to this protocol, you know, and then Marvin will give you, and then you just have to write a little script to decide if you want or not to change what you already have in production.
Metrics, I can put whatever I want.
Yes, you just it's open, you know. Each model, you know, as you know, each model has a different approach to measure. You know, it's not like AutoML here is something much open, you know. So basically, you need to define, you know, based on your problem, based on your model, you need to define your metrics, and then later use your metrics to define if that model that you got is better than the previous one.
And then, do you have any plugins?
We finish.
We talk afterwards.
Yeah, we talk. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody.